NHPR News at 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Survey after survey, it's the same. One of the activities most New Hampshire Public Radio listeners like to do is read. They read novels, biographies, and mysteries. They like books on politics, economics, or a good old-fashioned love story. They enjoy paging through new cookbooks and get inspired by photo-filled nature reads. But how they enjoy this hobby depends upon the person. Some want the tactile pleasure of a traditional cloth-bound book, while the mobile, more tech-savvy folk now do their reading on iPads, Nooks, and Kindles. Whatever way you like to read, there are a lot of great new offerings for you this holiday season. The prolific Stephen King has a new scary tome based on the JFK assassination. Local children's favorite Tommy DiPaolo presents his latest offering from the Strega Nona series. There's a new book about Catherine the Great, a biography on Stephen Jobs, an inside look at the Patriots draft process, and the true story of an American ambassador in 1930s Nazi Germany. Today in The Exchange, it's our annual holiday book show, and listeners, we want to hear from you. Which new books are you excited about this Christmas season, or which is on your own holiday wish list? If you're still looking, do you need an idea for a particular genre of book? Give us a call, and our guests can give you a recommendation. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR, or send us a short email, the address exchange@nhpr.org. We're sitting down this hour with Dan Chartrand, owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter. Hi, Dan.
Hey, great to be here.
Also with us, Michael Herman, owner of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord. Michael, thanks for being here.
Morning, Laura.
And a little bit later on today, we'll put our guests' top picks for the holiday season and any books that come up in our discussion today at our website, nhpr.org. Well, guys, before we dive into the books themselves, I did want to ask you about a couple trends that I keep hearing about this holiday season. And Dan, one is that more than ever, there's a huge push and consciousness to shop local.
Well, we've been talking about this for close to a decade now. The independent booksellers have been in the forefront of the shop local movement. And it's finally penetrated everyone's consciousness, and people are piling into local stores, including independent bookstores, this holiday season, and it's on the tip of everyone's tongue. They want to keep it local.
Piling into bookstores.
They are piling
into
stores.
Even with a supposedly sluggish economy.
It's less sluggish than it used to be, and they're piling in.
Well, good to hear. And then, Michael, the other sort of counter trend, if I could call it that, is that online shopping is also bigger than ever this season. So how are these two trends converging at your store?
Well, first, let me agree with Dan and say that our traffic and our sales are way up. And, in fact, the independent channel all across America is way up. People are coming into independent bookstores because you know, it's a kind of a return to professionalism. It's a return to local values. I mean, it's everything good. In terms of online sales, we're equipped to do that now ourselves. You know, Gibson's and Water Street both sell ebooks on our websites at competitive prices. You can shop our websites. You know, if you want to shop local and shop online, there's a way to do that now.
Well, both of your lists this year are pretty extensive, and you know, the top 10 has sort of morphed to the top 15, 20, 30, and that's great. Yeah. That's great. The more the merrier. But, you know, Michael, just give us your top, say, two or three favorites for the whole year, and then we'll get into some of the different genres that you guys are selling.
Well, the first one I want to talk about is it's nonfiction. It's both intellectual and extremely entertaining. And it you can dip into it. You can read it cover to cover. It's called a history. No, you know, where the heck is the book? It's the history of the world in 100 objects, and I wanted to pronounce the author's name right. It's Neil McGregor. He's the head of the British Museum, and this is a series that first started out on the BBC, I believe. They wanted to tell the story of human history through 100 objects that were in the museum, and it's a fascinating book. It's well illustrated. It's got just stories that are fascinating, you know, stories about from the hand axe to the credit card and everything in between. Yeah, this is just a fascinating book of intellectual history, and I think it's, you know, I always compare these kinds of books to Guns, Germs, and Steel by Jared Diamond. You know, is it that entertaining? And I think this one This one comes pretty close.
Is it a big sort of picture-y coffee table book, or is it more a novel?
It's more novel-sized, a little bit oversized, got a little weight to it because of all the illustrations, but it's not really a coffee table book. It's one that you could actually read comfortably in bed.
What's your favorite, Dan?
Well, my favorite book this year is a book by Chad Harbach called The Art of Fielding.
It's getting a lot of play.
This is a book that, the reason I love it so much is back in 1978, I had one of my top reading experiences reading John Irving's World According to Garp. And I liked that book so much that when I got to the end, I reread the last chapter, and then I reread the chapter before that, and I ended up reading the book backwards after I read it forwards. I loved that book, and I loved it because the characters were so amazing and so well-rounded and so quirky and so wonderful. Well, Chad Harbach has done it again. When I read this book this summer, it's just amazing. There's these five characters. It's set on the college campus of a small liberal arts college in eastern Wisconsin on the shores of Lake Michigan. Three of the five are on the baseball team, but it's not a baseball novel. It's about these five characters, the three baseball players, the college president, and the daughter, the wayward daughter of the college president, and how the five come together and sort of collide off each other, support each other. It's the most amazing novel. You have to read it.
Well, and this has gotten tons of play. And I went through, a dozen different book lists by different authors. And this is on everybody's list. The other thing that's interesting about this one, Dan, is that there's a backstory. There's sort of a mini book about the making of this book.
That's right. There was a long form article that ran in Vanity Fair in the September issue by one of Chad Harbach's friends and his co-editor on this online journal called N+1, which is very prestigious and a lot of people read it. So this guy wrote basically the 10-year saga of The Art of Fielding. Chad Harbach wrote this book for, close to 10 years while he was sort of learning his chops in the whole publishing field. But the article is amazing, not just because it sort of chronicles Chad Harbach's story, but then it tells in a very close-grained way, this article tells, how the publishing process happens and what each step of the way, where the value added is, what the professionals in publishing houses really do. It's a wonderful article. Anyone that cares about books should read this article in the Vanity Fair. Just Google, Art of Fielding, Vanity Fair, September, and you will find this article, and you will receive a short education.
Michael?
Yeah, I'd love this book, too. It's on my list as well. And let me just say that, as when you read Moby Dick, you don't really have to know that much about sailing to enjoy it. You don't have to know a lot about baseball to enjoy The Art of Fielding, but if you do know a lot about baseball, it's going to ring true. It's a very true-to-life baseball novel. It feels like the author really knows his stuff.
A couple other books that are getting a lot of attention this year. Michael Jeffrey Eugenides, The Marriage Plot. Now, he made a huge splash with Middlesex, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years ago. I read it myself. It was a great book. What's going on with The Marriage Plot?
Well, it's on our staff picks list because somebody else on my staff read it. I haven't read it yet. I know it's on Dan's list, and Dan can talk about it. But my understanding is that it's a very good novel, and it's set sort of in the world of literary studies.
It's another novel that took 10 years to write. In fact, there was an article in the New York Times Book Review complaining about how these great authors take too long to write their books. But basically, The Marriage Plot by Jeffrey Eugenides subverts the marriage plot of 18th and 19th century English novels written by writers like George Eliot and Jane Austen. And it's updated. It's now set in the early 80s. It's 1982, 1983. And these three Brown graduates, one woman, two men, sort of reenact the English novel marriage plot. The Madeline falls for Leonard, who turns out to be a brilliant but a manic depressive. Mitchell loves Madeline, but in vain because she's focused on Leonard. And he goes and takes religious studies courses and then goes off to India to hang with Mother Teresa. And the question is, which one will Madeline choose? And it's the classic English novel marriage plot moved to the 20th century in 1982, 1983. It's a wonderful novel.
Well, Jeffrey Eugenides, at least for Middlesex, is a master of sort of twisting things around, and it's never what you quite expect. Our number for you to join us here in the Exchange is 1-800-892-6477. It's our annual holiday book show, and we're sitting down with two New Hampshire independent booksellers, hearing about their picks for the best gift books of 2011. Give us a call if there's a particular genre that interests you or someone on your Christmas list. Our booksellers can give you a recommendation. Also, what new books have caught your attention this year. 1-800-892-6477 is our number, 1-800-892-NHPR, or email us, exchange@nhpr.org. And Michael Herman, you know, Dan was saying that in the New York Times they were complaining that these great authors take too long to write books. Stephen King doesn't take too long to write books. He churns them out. But he's got a new one this year, Michael, that's getting a lot of praise.
He does. And, you know, I debated with myself whether to bring his new one in because, I mean, it's not like he needs the boost. You know, everybody knows and loves Stephen King. But again, it's you can't even say it's a return to form because he's been operating at a very high level for some years. He's really one of our best storytellers. And funny story, as I was preparing for the show, one of my colleagues said that whenever her husband gets sick, he always rereads The Stand. And, you know, I think he's sort of America's go-to author for a lot of things. And, yeah, it's, again, another strong performance by Stephen King. You really can't go wrong with it.
It's called 11-22-63. It's about the Kennedy assassination.
It is. It's an alternative history. What if you could go back and change things?
Wow.
Yeah, he's kind of re-envisioned the time travel novel. Who knew that Stephen King would be hit by a truck and be reborn as the love child of Edgar Allan Poe and Charles Dickens? I mean, the critics are in love with Stephen King in a way that they never have been. The New York Times put this on their top 10 list. And my bookseller, Sarah Connell, had to stay up and read 500 pages all in one night to finish this book because she couldn't stand to put it down.
Really? Wow.
It's that compelling, she said.
Well, you know, there's always been, you know, the academics and the reviewers have, you know, historically never taken King as seriously as
they
should
have. Right, he's the airport novel guy.
I guess. But, you know, he's a great storyteller. And, you know, just by the way, he's also a very good literary critic and short story writer. He's really a very talented guy that finally is getting the recognition he deserves. I guess it's a weird thing to say about Stephen King.
Our phone number again here on The Exchange for you to join us with your questions and comments about some of the books that are generating a buzz these days is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Two booksellers join us. We're hearing about their favorites for this holiday season. And a little later on today, you can see a list of their top tomes for 2011. And we'll add the names of all the books that come up in our discussion today. So that's nhpr.org. You can join us now with a phone call at 1-800-892-6477.
Good morning, it's 9:19, and support for NHPR comes from UR members and from the NEATH Network Organizations, statewide leader assisting students and parents planning for college. Information at nhheaf.org. From Ford and Weaver, PA, attorneys representing businesses and institutional creditors in bankruptcy and troubled debt matters from their offices in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And Granite State Candy Shop at 13 Warren Street, Concord, makers of gourmet chocolate bars embossed with your company's logo for corporate gift giving, nhchocolates.com. More of our holiday book show on The Exchange on NHPR, then at 10 on The Diane Rehm Show, Child Sex Abuse, and the case against former Penn State coach Jerry Sandusky. New Hampshire weather today, mostly cloudy statewide. Central and southern parts of the state could see some occasional sunshine. Highs today around 35 in the North Country, 40 to 45 for the rest of the state. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, it's our annual holiday book show. We're talking about the best books of 2011. Two New Hampshire booksellers are giving us their favorites, and we want to hear what might be on your list to give or receive this holiday season. Also, if you need some gift ideas, give us a call. Our booksellers can help you out. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. The email exchange at nhpr.org. Our booksellers are Dan Chartrand of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter and Michael Herman of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord. And gentlemen, let's go to the phones. And Doreen's calling from Greenfield. Hi, Doreen. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, good morning.
Morning.
I have a 12-year-old who inhales books. She's a prolific reader, and we've introduced her to many of the classics. And I'm looking for something new and that's on the cusp of maybe what a Harry Potter was or what The Witch, the Wardrobe, and those sorts of books.
The Narnia books.
Any suggestions? Yeah, any suggestions?
Doreen, thanks a lot for calling in. Great question. Michael?
Sure. Well,
and you've got a teenage girl who inhales books, too.
Yes. Yeah, I've got a couple of them. I'm losing count. I have a lot of them at home, apparently. But anyway, 12 years old? Yeah, I think There's a new novel in verse by a local author, Stasha Ward Kehoe. She was born and raised in Kentucky, and it's called Audition. It's a novel in verse about a young girl being drawn into the world of ballet. It's perfect for young girls who are into dance and drama, who have a creative side. It's kind of PG-13. It's not really for middle school. So I would take a quick look at it first just to be sure. But yeah, that's been very popular in our store.
Dan?
Assuming that this young woman who inhales books has already read the Hunger Games trilogy, the new book that – the new series that we're pushing for the young adults who love dystopian novels is Birthmarked by Cara M. O'Brien. And it's about this future world where everyone's marked with a code that will determine their future.
And, oh, that sounds dark.
Dystopian is dark.
Hunger Games. I read just a chapter or so with my older boy, and wow, that was really all I cared to read.
Yeah, there's a lot going on with the dystopian stuff.
Future worlds that are very dark.
Yeah, another series to look at for the dystopian fantasy future world kind of thing. Two novels. It's part of a trilogy that's still ongoing by Ali Condi. The first one is called Matched, and the second one is called Crossed. Those are just out.
Well, good luck with your daughter, Doreen, and thanks a lot for calling in. Happy holidays to you. Our number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. You can send us an email, too, if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org. And, guys, George is up next from Nashua. Hi, George. You're on The Exchange. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you. Yeah, I just finished or am finishing Leaving the Etosha Station. Interesting. First-time novel.
What's the name of it again, George? We didn't catch it.
Leaving the Etosha Station.
Okay. I haven't heard of it. A fiction by a first-time novelist. The gentlemen are writing it down. What grabbed you about it, George?
Well, it's a little annoying in some ways because it is all up in this guy's head who is in Madrid and he's like on a fellowship and he's a young guy. It's not really messy, but it's interesting. You can pick it up and read a little bit of it and put it down.
All right, George, thanks a lot. And he stumped you.
He stumped the panel.
Stumped the band, yeah.
Well, there's probably books that come up all the time where you go, people come into your store, Dan, and they say, I heard about this. Do you have it? And you go, huh? So there's a lot out there these days.
Actually, we've started a program in our store. It's called the Annotation Project. We'd like to annotate every book that's faced out in the store. And we've enlisted our customers to help us because we don't have enough bookselling staff to annotate every book in the store. So we've got a Community Reads project, which is taking off like wildfire. And our customers are helping us with the annotation, the staff picks things. It's not just staff picks anymore. It's community picks.
So in other words, people can come in and read it for you and write a little blurb for you.
Absolutely.
Wow. All right. Well, George, thanks for the call. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Just a couple more questions about great fiction this holiday season. Michael, again, almost everybody's list this year has In the Night Circus, a debut novel by Aaron Morgenstern.
Yeah, it's a wonderful book. I first read it, I guess it was in a galley over the summer, and I fell in love with it. It's a great fantasy about the circus of dreams and a bet between two mysterious characters that involve a young couple that are in love. And it's a great fantasy, and I found it very, very satisfying, and I've gone back and looked at it a couple of times. It's a very good read, very good gift for somebody who likes serious fiction on your list.
Well, it's always nice to learn about new novelists, and this is a debut novel
by
Aaron Morgenstern. And the other one that everybody's list has, Dan, practically, is The Tiger's Wife by Tia Obrecht.
Right. The New York Times named this one of their on their 10 best list of the year. There's 5 fiction, 5 nonfiction, and they named this one of their best books of the year. First-time novelist, Steph Kuiper, who is our bookseller extraordinaire at Water Street Bookstore, she actually chose, read and recommended 60% of the Times 5 titles in fiction ahead of their choosing them. So this was one of those books that she's been hand-selling to our customers, and it's wonderful, new talent.
It's a book – well, yeah, she's one of the New Yorker's 20 under 40. They like to list up-and-coming writers, and it's just an astonishingly rich first-time novel. It's about the Balkans, torn up by war. and people searching for meaning in a past that's revealed in flashbacks. It's very, very professionally written. Professionally sounds too weak, I think. It's very, very satisfying. It's a good book.
Let's go back to our callers, gentlemen. And from Kittery, Maine, Christy is calling in. Hi, Christy. You're on The Exchange. Go ahead.
Hi, Laura. Thank you very much. And thank you to the panelists. It's one of my favorite subjects. I had two questions, if you don't mind. I'm a huge historical fiction fan and have been trying for decades to find a Diana Gabaldon replacement and haven't really found anybody that I've enjoyed. Would love to get their feedback. And I also have a 9-year-old daughter who eats up books and is a historical fiction fan too, and would love some recommendations from them for that, other than the Magic Tree House series.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Pretty much done with that probably, aren't
yep.
you? All right. Well, thanks a lot for calling in, Christy. And boy, I'm a fan of historical fiction too, Michael. Anything along the historical fiction lines, or as I understand, there's a lot of historical fact this year that is also fascinating.
Well, in terms of historical fiction, you can't go wrong with Caleb's Crossing by Geraldine Brooks, Massachusetts author. She's written about the first Native American who graduated from Harvard. And it's based on a true story. What she's done, because not much is known about this historical character, so she tells the story through an invented character who's the daughter of a minister. And the story manages to be entertaining and also tell a little story about the history of racism and sexism in America. It's a very good novel. I think it's probably Geraldine Brooks' best novel to date.
And Dan, the history book that's getting so much attention this year is In the Garden of Beasts, Love, Terror, and An American Family in Hitler's Berlin, about the American ambassador to Germany and his family in the days leading up to Hitler's rise. This is just getting so much praise from booksellers around the country.
Yeah, the author of that book is Eric Larson, and this is his fifth book, I think. And he has created this amazing career for himself through all these five books. And this latest one is resonating with history readers as much as his earlier did. I wanted to jump in, and for the 9-year-old daughter, this isn't really a historical novel, but we're recommending a book by Ann Ursu, who was the author of the Cronus Chronicles previously. She has a new book that's kind of in a contemporary setting. It's not historical. It's called Breadcrumbs, and I would recommend that to your 9-year-old. It's an appropriate middle grade fiction for your 9-year-old.
Well, and here's an email from Deborah, who says she'd like to mention a couple kids' titles. I Want My Hat Back by John Klassen. That's probably for littler kids.
Yeah, we know
right?
which Deborah this is.
Yeah. Oh, is this Deborah from one of your stores?
This is Deborah, who's a wonderful reader and a great friend of both of our bookstores.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, and Robert Sabuda's Hanukkah Lights. And also Deborah wants to mention The Flint Heart by Catherine and John Patterson. She says would be great for the caller who called in for her 12-year-old. So, Deborah, thanks for that email. Again, the email address is exchange@nhpr.org. The phone number, 1-800-892-6477. And, gentlemen, as we move from fiction into nonfiction, we mentioned In the Garden of Beasts, again, sort of one of the big nonfiction books this year. But, Dan, I'm seeing a lot of sort of what I might categorize as cool, thinky, perhaps a little geeky books this year that are selling really well. I'm thinking about Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman.
Yeah, this is a man who's a psychologist who's, I think he's received the Nobel Prize for economics.
Yeah, that's correct.
And he's sort of marrying the fields of economics and psychology. And again, another book that was on the New York Times top 10 list. And
how do we make decisions? That's his theme. And here's a guy who could probably baffle us very quickly with academic jargon, but he's written a book that's accessible to the layperson about the key questions of psychology and economic theory. How do we make decisions?
Kind of taking Malcolm Gladwell's work and maybe giving it even more depth. I mean, Malcolm Gladwell is a journalist primarily. It's kind of the first draft of maybe what Thinking Fast and Slow is. So
yeah.
if you like Malcolm Gladwell but you want a little more, this is the book for you.
Other geeky books, guys, that are getting a lot of play this year.
Well, The Swerve by Stephen
yes.
Greenblatt. He wrote a previous book called Will in the World, which is so amazing. It's the best book on William Shakespeare. And now he's written a book. He's written a book called The Swerve, How the World Became Modern. And it tells the story of the discovery of a long-lost manuscript in a monastery library in the 12th or 13th century.
1417, my friend.
Okay, there you go, 15th century. And there was a book hunter that went into this monastery and found this manuscript that was kind of crumbling, and it was Lucretius's On the Nature of Things, a long-lost Roman poem. And basically, Lucretius was the Einstein of his time, if you will permit me that. He saw the world in, as composed of atoms. He was a very sort of rational thinker as well as a mystical thinker, and he basically kind of swerved the world towards the Renaissance and away from the medieval times.
Yeah, it's really about the invention of the Renaissance because it was like a breath of fresh air after the Middle Ages. And, you know, going back to this historical thinker who actually was looking at the world more closely to the way it is as opposed to in a superstitious fashion. So
way, way, way back then.
Yeah, 1417, from 1,000 years before that, yeah.
Poggio Broccolini was the book hunter.
Oh,
kind
there
of,
you go.
Kind of that era's independent bookseller, if you will.
Let's go back to our callers, gentlemen. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Give us a call. Tell us what you're interested in terms of buying or receiving a book this holiday season. Are there particular genres you're looking for or particular people you are shopping for? 1-800-892-6477. And to Kath in Peterborough. Hi, Kath. You're on The Exchange. Go ahead.
Hi, Laura. Thank you. One of the best books I've read is The City of Dreams by William Martin. I read it this year. Would not hesitate to give it to anyone. It emission bonds from the Revolutionary War, and chapter by chapter, it switched from back in history to current, and then the story blended as you get nearer to the end of the book. And when I got to the end, I didn't want to – I was, oh, no, it's all over. I want to keep going.
Don't you hate that, Kath? Go ahead, Dan.
William Martin's a great historical novelist. We could have mentioned him to the person earlier as a great person to read. He's written between 5 and 10 historical novels over the last 20 years. And
they're not thin either.
he delivers the goods each time.
Well, there's a lot, Michael, right, for history buffs this year. I mean, we talked about some of them, but there's a lot if you're interested in history out there. A World on Fire, Britain's Crucial Role in the American Civil War. Mm-hmm. We talked earlier about The Garden of Beasts, Love, Terror, and American Family in Hitler's Berlin. Lots of history, lots of biographies too, Michael, for that history buff in your life.
Yeah, definitely. There's two biographies actually that go to pop culture and you know, the history of Hollywood and also the history of the 20th century. One is Hedy's Folly, and you know, it's about Hedy Lamarr, and it's just hitting now. It's hitting a little late, but it's basically about how this actress, who was known as the most beautiful woman in the world and was extremely bored by that compliment, set out to invent something that would help us in World War II, and she did. Our torpedoes at the time were, you know, failed more often than they succeeded. She developed technology and patented it with a friend. That later gave rise to all of the wireless technology that we have today. And this is a story that's never really been told, and now it's been told in this book. It's by Richard Rhodes, who's a great cultural historian. It's called Hedy's Folly. And, you know, I always want to say Hedley because I'm thinking of Blazing Saddles, but it's Hedy Lamarr. And another biography of sorts is Rin Tin Tin by Susan Orlean, and that's the story of everybody's favorite German shepherd, Rin Tin Tin, who was originally rescued from the trenches after World War I. And it's a story really also about Hollywood and about our relationship with dogs as it evolved over the 20th century.
There are three contemporary doers and thinkers who've written biographies as well, three political observers of our time, Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, and Chris Matthews, three well-known political commentators. And they've got biographies, too, one on Washington by Beck, one on Lincoln by O'Reilly, and one on Kennedy by Chris Matthews.
Well, Chris Matthews, he can claim some experience with the Kennedy family through his connection with Tip O'Neill, so I'm going to give him a pass. But it seems almost as if Fox News has organized their commentators to each choose a president and write a book on them. It's uncanny how this is they're rolling out all at the same time. So
well, are they selling?
Beck is it with Fox? And yeah, they're selling. They are. They're on the bestseller list. I think the point about these two is that they're subject to both safely in the past. So, you know, it's a little bit of hero worship is acceptable.
Yeah, and it's a little bit of the Tea Party and the conservative wing of the country trying to claim the fathers of our nation as theirs.
Well, there it is. And there's lots of other political books out there that I will ask you guys about in a moment. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. And Elena's calling in from Merrimack. Hi, Elena. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi.
Go ahead, Elena.
I have a brother he's a gourmet foodie. He loves the expensive alcohol, and I have no idea what to get him this year.
A book for the foodie in your life, Alana.
Yes.
All right. Great. Gentlemen, cookbooks, they're fun to buy. They're beautiful. They're big. What do you think, Michael?
Well, there's a few books that I could talk about, but they're not about expensive wine or anything, so it might not go directly to the point. But one of my favorite cookbooks is called Flower by Joanne Chang, and she has the restaurant of the same name in Boston. And let me just tell you, I've had cupcakes out of this book, and I still remember them.
You know. He's drooling, Alan.
No, I'm not. I'm not drooling.
Other cookbooks, Dan, that sell well in your book. Are cookbooks in general still selling well?
Oh, yeah, especially at this time
They're
of year.
They're a great gift.
They definitely go. The foodie book that we're selling well is a book called Shucked, and it's about an oyster farm in New England. That's doing very well. So check out Shucked. He can have some oysters with his expensive cocktails.
Yeah, there you go.
Elena, good luck to you, and thanks a lot for calling in. The number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Dan, you mentioned a local author who's written about oysters. Local authors are always big in local bookstores like you, and there are a couple who are catching your attention.
I have a list here, but a couple that are really important for us in the Seacoast. J. Dennis Robinson, who is the Seacoast historian, he's written a book called America's Privateer, Lynx and the War of 1812. And Rick Schubart, who is on the faculty of the Phillips Exeter Academy, longtime faculty member, has contributed to a book called Hero or Coward, The Story of General Fitzjohn Porter.
Well, and we'll talk more about local books and local authors because there's some excitement there, too. So more on that after a short break. Our number here on The Exchange for you to join us with your questions or comments is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. More with our local booksellers on our annual holiday book show in just a minute.
You might not realize just how many moving pieces there are in NHPR's coverage of primary night. John Forcucci, NHPR's Vice President of News and Digital Media, pulls back the curtain.
We're watching all of the returns, getting information from the camps, what's happening that we want to get on the air right away, and how do we post that information to the web and to social media.
John describes it as an army of people to keep all these pieces moving in sync for excellent coverage on January 10th. Now you know.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from PSNH, proud supporter of a University of New Hampshire study on New Hampshire habitats and wildlife. More details can be found at www.extension.unh.edu. And the Wealth Management Group at Merrimack County Savings Bank, trust and wealth management services provided by advisors committed to your financial needs, themerrimack.com. Good morning, it's 9:40. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on The Exchange, an update on wind power, the pros and the foes. Email us your questions and comments before the show to exchange at nhpr.org, and then join us tomorrow morning live at 9. Today, it's our holiday book show. We're talking with two bookstore owners about popular books this holiday season. Give us a call if there's a particular genre that interests you or a loved one. Our booksellers might be able to give you a recommendation. Also, what new books have caught your attention this year to give or to receive? Our number, 1-800-892-6477. The email is exchange@nhpr.org. And gentlemen, just before the break, we were talking a little bit about local authors. And boy, yeah, Michael Herman, we've got to talk about Donald Hall, a beloved New Hampshire poet who has a new book.
Yep, The Back Chamber. It's the first volume of new verse, I think, in like 10 years. And we've sold tons of it. And if you want to get one gift that sort of is emblematic of New Hampshire, and if you love poetry, That's the book to give.
Yeah, his first new book in 10 years. He must be 90 now, somewhere around there.
I don't think he's quite that old, but he's not a spring chicken. And, you know, we were very glad to see this book, and he came to read with us. And, you know, he's still knocking them dead. He's great.
Other local authors, Dan, you want to make sure we get a mention?
Ashley Davis Bush is a local author for us who's written a new book called Shortcuts to Inner Peace. It's a paperback, 70 Paths to Everyday Serenity. We're recommending it for the antidote to the holiday rush.
Yeah, no kidding.
You guys could probably use that.
We're beyond that, but other people could probably use the help. Laura, I also want to mention a new book called Beyond the Notches, which is essays about the North Country. And it's got essays by great writers, local writers like Rebecca Rule and Ernie Hebert, Edie Clark, Tom Wessels, Dick Ober, Howard Mansfield. It's all about the culture, the nature, the history. How people work, how people play in the North Country of New Hampshire. Each section is anchored by a quotation from Robert Frost, and it's a beautifully illustrated volume, and it's from a local publisher called Bondcliffe Books. So this has local written all over it. It's a beautiful kind of coffee table paperback book, and we're recommending it very highly, and it's flying off the shelves.
Dan.
I had an open question in my mind, and we stocked the book, but I had an open question in my mind whether it would sell well on the seacoast, and it's doing really well. It's an amazing book, an amazing collection of great local voices writing about the land beyond the notches.
Well, and before we go back to our callers and emails, Dan, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention another beloved local author, Tommy DiPaola. He's got a new one in the Stregonona series. Who doesn't love Stregonona?
This would be Stregonona's gift, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Tommy DiPaola just... People love his art. They love his writing. He's one of the few that really does both well. And he is one of, like Donald Hall, he is one of New Hampshire's treasures.
Yeah, it's a book that kids can love, but adults can. I mean, I fall in love with Tommy's palette. I think he's got just a remarkable artistic sense. You know, it's a real joy to read his books.
Let's take some more calls, gentlemen. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. And let's go next to Portsmouth. Bert's on the air. Hi, Bert. Go ahead.
Good morning, and hello to my friend Dan there. And I wanted to recommend a history book. You know, the Civil War is much written about. There is a new book that came out this year about the American Civil War that just blew me away. I think it's the best book. If you had to read one book about the American Civil War, it's called America Aflame by David Goldfield, I believe it is. And it just presents so many things you didn't know, like, for example, how much worse Southern blacks were because of the Civil War, because of the backlash, something called redemption, which was in reaction to Reconstruction. It's just a fascinating book. I didn't want it to end.
That's a great recommendation. And, guys, I've heard a lot about that one, too.
It's selling very well. There seems to be a resurgence in sales around Civil War books as we reach the 150th anniversaries of the events of the Civil War. So there's a lot of great publishing happening. This book in particular is wonderful. Bert's right.
And you mentioned earlier, but just give us a little more, Dan, Navy books, the history of the Navy.
Well, our favorite history of the Navy, we actually have two. One is by a gentleman named George C. Dawn, who's a scholar who lives up in Maine. He's a retired academic who taught at one of the military colleges in the country. He has a new book called 1812, The Navy's War. And this is a wonderful sort of portrayal of how pivotal the Navy was in the War of 1812, which was really the war that consolidated our independence from Great Britain. Great Britain had some ideas about maybe trying to come back and bring us back into their sphere, and this was the war that ended that. And Britain actually decided to pursue a policy of soft power after that. George is a wonderful historian. This is a great book for a father, uncle, brother who loves U.S. history. The other book that we're selling about the U.S. Navy is called 32 in 44, 32 submarines in 1944, Building the Portsmouth Submarine Fleet in World War II. It's by Rodney K. Waterston. It's very much a person on the ground, man and women on the ground in the submarine yard who were building these vessels. And they had an incredible record of productivity in that year and the years around the World War II.
Well, and I appreciate what you say about the War of 1812. We kind of forget that there was this uncertain period where Britain really did try to reassert control. So Worth remembering. Thanks for that call, Bert. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. The email exchange at nhpr.org. Here's an email from Megan in Portsmouth who says, some of my favorite memoirs this year were Townie by Andre Dubus, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Dubuque the Third, I Wore the Ocean in the Shape of a Girl by Kelly Groom, and Ghosts by Daylight by Janine DiGiovanni, and Blood, Bones, and Butter by Gabriel Hamilton. Megan asks, what other memoirs can Dan and Michael recommend? Michael, you want to take that one?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, I think Townie and Blood, Bones, and Butter were on our summer reading list. We read those. We love them. You know, Andre Dubuque the Third is a very charismatic person, and it comes through in his writing. And he had a tough past, and it is a great read. Blood, Bones, and Butter is a memoir about learning how to work as a professional chef in New York, and it is no holds barred. Very, very fun, kind of gritty and graphic and hilarious. A memoir that I'm talking about for Christmas, I mean, those two are still good. You know, they're new this year, so we recommend them too. But Diane Keaton's written a book, and she's one of our favorite actresses. Those of us of a certain generation remember her starting with, you know, Annie Hall in the Godfather movies. And here she's writing about her time with Woody, her time, you know, but it's mostly about her relationship with her mother. And it's a great, touching, quirky, entertaining memoir by Diane Keaton. It's called Then Again.
Dan, memoirs, always popular.
Steph is our memoir person in the store, and she's recommending to Your Voice in My Head, a memoir by Emma Forrest, and Cocktail Hour Under the Tree of Forgetfulness, the latest book by Alexandra Fuller about her parents' experience in Africa. But the memoir that we're selling the most of is written by a man who used to be a journalist in Newburyport, and it's called Following Atticus, 48 Peaks, One Little Dog, and an Extraordinary Friendship. Tom Ryan took his dog Atticus, a miniature schnauzer, and proceeded to climb all the 4,000-foot peaks. He tried to do it in one winter. They came up short. But in coming up short, he bonded with his dog and with his new adopted state. He lives in Conway now. And it's a wonderful New Hampshire memoir.
In winter.
In winter.
All right. Well, that does sound good.
Poor Atticus.
Right. Exactly.
That's a cute dog and tough, let me tell you.
Yeah, for sure. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. Thanks for that email, Megan. Here's another one from Bruce in Boston who says, can your guests recommend anyone who writes historic fiction like James Michener did or books like Shogun that Clavell did? Bruce, thanks for that note. Gentlemen?
You know,
good question.
There was a time in the 60s and 70s when that was the dominant form of fiction, what Michener did, what Clavell did. The publishing industry cycles in and out of styles, and there's not a lot of that kind of, you know, expansive, big, thick historical novels that are being published right now. The William Martin that a caller recommended earlier or an email person recommended earlier, that would be a good person to go to, I think, for someone that loves Clavell and Michener.
Thanks for that email. And, you know, gentlemen, another trend that I've seen besides the thinky geeky books that we talked about earlier, economic books. Michael, they've been a lot in recent years, still pondering how, why, what of the financial crisis of 2008 and the fallout that continues. Are these still popular? Are there any new good ones, or are we kind of done examining this?
We're not done because it's going to happen all over again. We don't seem to have learned our lessons, and that's the point of a new book by Michael Lewis called Boomerang, where he examines the financial collapse in Iceland, Greece, all over Europe, and then he ends in California. But, you know, in case we were getting too smug as readers reading about all these other people's problems, you know, they're coming home too, and He's got a great knack for taking really abstruse economic topics and making them immediately accessible to the reader, and he's very witty and entertaining at the same time.
Dan?
Michael Lewis is the chronicler of economic folly for our times. But he does it in a wonderful way. He's also the author of Moneyball, which is one of my all-time favorite books, and it was just made into a different but equally wonderful movie that had more of an emotional quality than the book. There is a new book that kind of is a follow-up to Moneyball by Michael Holley, former Globe writer, and now I think he's a DJ on one of the sports stations down in Boston. He's written a book called War Room, The Legacy of Bill Belichick and the Art of Building the Perfect Team. He follows the draft process of three different teams that are all connected to Bill Belichick through his sort of coaching tree. He follows the Kansas City Chiefs, the Atlanta Falcons, and the New England Patriots as they try to maintain their team and rebuild it. Michael Hawley's written a wonderful sports book if you're looking for a sports book for someone.
Yeah, really? It's a real good examination of, I mean, how Belichick, you know, came up with the Browns and just sort of developed this really rigorous system of evaluating and developing players, and how people who worked under Belichick you know, learned from him and took those systems to other teams.
And under sports books also, Michael, we're not going to talk about it now in the interest of time, but you've got Fenway 1912. We're celebrating the 100th year of Fenway Park
It's a book about the first year there, and it's full of lore for the Red Sox fan. Anything you want to know about Fenway is probably in this book. Why the park is shaped that way, you know, why the dugouts flood whenever it rains real hard, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Here's an email from Midge in Sunapee. And Midge, thanks so much for reminding us that we need to talk about this one. Midge says, you can't talk about bios this year without mentioning this book. In addition to getting background on the development, the book is Isaacson's Bio of Steve Jobs. In addition to getting background on the development of Apple's iconic world-changing products, there's so much to learn about genius, intuition, and the courage of one's convictions. Thank you so much, Midge. This is absolutely a book that we do need to talk about. Dan.
I've read a section of it. I read the section about the development of the iPod. I'm particularly interested in how Apple basically hijacked the music industry, you know, and the music industry let them. So, but it has a lot of pertinence to the book industry. So I've read that section. Isaacson has carved out this niche for himself as the chronicler of all these incredible people: Einstein, Ben Franklin. Help me out here.
I was thinking Einstein and Ben Franklin.
Yeah,
too.
There's another one as well, thinking of it right now. But Walter Isaacson has written an amazing book about one of the most amazing men of our times, who just
died. But warts and all, I mean, it's not the portrait of a saint.
No, not at all. Steve Jobs was no saint.
You know, Laura, we could have brought in a top 100. I mean, honestly, sure, that book should have been on our list. But, you know, we kind of had to, you know, cull for the interest of time. We could be here all morning.
Right. Yeah. Well, and there really are a lot of terrific books this year. I know we often say that, but this year especially, it really seems there's a lot of great memoirs, bios, historical fiction, and so forth. Let's take another call, gentlemen. This is Nicole in Londonderry. Nicole, thanks for hanging on. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I was actually wondering, I'm into like kind of dark psychological thrillers, and I'm finishing up Heath Sommer's The Human Obsession. And I was wondering if you had any other recommendations for, like, my next book.
All right, great. Nicole, thanks for calling in. Dan?
Well, for those that have read all the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Steve Larson series.
Yeah, exactly. We have a book by Jussi Adler-Olsen called The Keeper of Lost Causes. Excuse me. Jean-Paul and Liz have both read this. They've made it their cause to find everyone that read the Dragon Tattoo books and find them with this book. It's written by a Danish author. You know, classic kind of detective who's kicked to the back of the department, and he's paired with a Syrian immigrant who drives him to investigate these cold cases. It's a wonderful, wonderful book.
So we've moved on from Swedish dark thrillers to Danish dark thrillers.
Still Nordic, still Scandinavian.
On that theme also, Laura, I would talk about When She Woke, which is a dystopian take on The Scarlet Letter, kind of like The Handmaid's Tale, a new novel by Hilary Jordan.
And gentlemen, just about 2 minutes left. Any final last books that you really want to put on people's radar screens to give or receive this holiday season before we go out? Dan?
Well, I'll go with reminding you to read The Art of Fielding by Chad Harbach, but setting that aside, I'm going to go with Brian Selznick's Wonderstruck.
That's on a lot of lists.
It
yes.
is. Stephanie has read this and looked at it. It's a new form of book. It's really more illustration than it is text, but it's a wonderful way of telling stories. It's really you could read it to a 4 or 5 year old.
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah. All the way up to, you know, it's a book for adults. And Brian Selznick is one of the true sort of visionaries of our industry. He's kind of like our Steve Jobs.
it's a hybrid form. It's not a novel. It's not a graphic novel. It's not a picture book. It's a new kind of form. It started with the invention of Hugo Cabret, which was just made into
That's what it reminds me of.
Yes. Well, it's the same guy.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's Wonderstruck by Brian Selznick.
Right. Yeah, that's a wonderful one. I would certainly concur with Dan. If you're looking for something to give to, college students, kids, people who like to read literary essays, things like that, the book that I would definitely recommend is called Arguably, which is a collection of essays by Christopher Hitchens. And it sort of brings together all of his different essays, whether they're literary criticism or political writing or writing on history. He's probably the best essayist of our time, and now his works have finally been collected in one volume.
Well, and he's got a horrible cancer, right? I mean, that kind of overshadows these essays.
Yes, yeah. The story is that he won't be with us much longer. So I think that it would be great if people could, if they haven't encountered him yet, could read Arguably by Christopher Hitchens.
Dan?
And another one of the New York Times top 10 books of the year, mm-hmm. Arguably by Christopher Hitchens.
Yep. All right. Well, speaking of top books, not 10, not 20, maybe 25 from both of you. And that's great. That's great. And any other book that was mentioned this hour will be posted a little bit later today on our website, nhpr.org. So again, if you want to learn more what the guys have picked this year, what other listeners have mentioned through emails and calls, nhpr.org. Later on today, we'll put all the information there. And Michael Herman, Dan Chartrand, it was really great to see you. I know this is a busy, busy season. I appreciate you making the time. Michael, thanks for being here.
Oh, it's always fun, Laura.
Michael Herman, owner of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord. Dan, thanks for coming in.
It was wonderful to be here.
Dan Chartrand, owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. Our engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our interns are Ryan Lassard and Karen Gohl. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields. And I'm Laura Kinweiler.